This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, masculine men stepped up to the plate during the shooting in California 2 days ago, protecting and saving women. We'll talk about the value of masculinity in society. Also, on the way other end of the spectrum, a transgender man is suing 16 women for refusing to touch his genitals. Yes, really. We'll talk about that on the Matt Walsh Show. There is nothing worse in life than hotel coffee. But you make do in a desperate situation. And another thing I don't understand about hotel coffee, can I just say this? Why is it that they give you an equal number of decaf and regular coffee packets? I don't understand, because there are only about three sociopaths in the whole country who drink decaf. And frankly, those people do not need their depraved desires and instincts catered to. So it's the worst form of like affirmative action that we have to have an equal number of decaf and regular coffee. All right. Hope you guys are having a great day so far. A couple of things I want to talk about today. And we'll start with this. Over the past 24 hours or so, we've heard many stories about what happened inside Borderline Bar and Grill in California during the shooting that took 11 innocent lives. The stories are harrowing and horrifying, of course, but there have been some really inspiring glimmers of courage and heroism that have come out of this. And I want to highlight two of those if you haven't heard about these. A woman by the name of Taylor Whitler was celebrating her friend's birthday at the bar. And here's what she reported to Good Morning America. This is what happened to her. She said, while we were all dog piled over at the side, there were multiple men that got on their knees and pretty much blocked all of us with their back toward the shooter, ready to take a bullet for any single one of us. And just the amount of people that made sure everyone got out okay, or if they were out, they made sure they went around to every single person around them and asked them if they were okay and if they needed a phone to call their family or just in general, any way they could help. It was awesome. There was another story from a woman named Savannah who said that two men broke the windows with chairs and then carried her and her friend out to safety. So we have men shielding women from bullets. We have men breaking windows, carrying women out to safety. And this is an incredible scene amidst all the tragedy. And I think the culture needs to hear about stuff like this, because it's a culture where we hear so often about toxic masculinity, and we hear about men who are, you know, awful and evil and dangerous. Men are denigrated all the time. It's important to stop and recognize these kinds of moments when they happen, I think. Masculinity, real masculinity, a heroic, true masculinity saves lives, does not take lives, it saves lives. Now, you can easily point out that the scumbag who did the shooting was also a man, and that's true enough. But there is a stark contrast here between the scumbag shooter and these men who are saving lives, and I think it's worth exploring, okay? The shooter is a desperate, a pathetic, empty, soulless coward spraying bullets at unarmed and innocent people. So he was a man, yes, biologically, according to his chromosomes, according to his anatomy, but he was devoid of masculinity. This was not a masculine man. This was not an expression of masculinity when you go in and you kill innocent people. This was an empty man, a hollow man. The men, on the other hand, shielding women from bullets, carrying women out to safety, and so on, these are men who feel a duty to protect. These are men of action. These are courageous men, men of strength and resolve in the face of danger. And when I say that those are real men and the shooter was not, I mean that the shooter is rejecting his masculinity, rejecting his responsibility as a man, whereas the heroes at the bar are embracing it. Now, there are people who, when you bring this up, they'll say, well, yeah, but anyone could have done that. Anyone could have shielded the bullets. Anyone could have carried the women out. They didn't have to be men. And that's not entirely true, by the way. Most women would not be capable of you know, carrying another grown woman to safety, or would have difficulty with it, just, you know, just physically doing that. So in fact, you do need men for those kinds of jobs. You do need men to do that kind of thing. It probably took a man to smash the window with the chair and carry someone to safety. But it's true that women can be heroes too. Nobody is denying that women can be heroes, but you notice something here. The people who dismiss the connection between masculinity and heroic acts, masculinity and courageous acts, they usually have no problem drawing a connection between masculinity and depraved acts, violent acts. I wonder why that is. Many of these people, they'll be the first to say that, well, when you look at all these mass shooters and the school shooters, there's a problem with men. We need to talk about the problem with men. Well, if that means that we talk about the problem with men, then why can't we point to these other examples and talk about the good things about men? Why is it in our culture that men have to take ownership of all the bad things that men do, but we have no ownership over the good things that men do? The good things, well, anyone could have done that. The bad things, oh yeah, well, that had to be a man. I mean, you notice this dynamic? Is this really healthy? Is this good for our sons to live in a culture like this, where that's the attitude? Notice something else. If you look at a story like, take one that I read recently about a mother who drowned while trying to save her child from a riptide. Actually, she saved several of her children from riptide, and then she finally drowned herself, tragically. There was also a story out of China that I read a few weeks ago. And I think there was a case like this in the USA recently as well, but I couldn't find it when I just tried to look it up. But in China, there was a fire in an apartment building, and a mother got her three children to safety by throwing blankets and pillows out of the window onto the ground below, and then dropping her kids out the window. And then right after she had saved her last child, she passed out from the smoke and she died in the fire. Now, these are examples, among many other examples, of motherly love, okay? Of strong, feminine, motherly love. Nobody would have a problem with me saying that, right? No, if I say this is what a mother does, this is a real mother, this is motherly maternal love, these are strong women, real women, no one would have a problem with me saying that. And nobody would, if I said that, nobody would respond and say, well, what about Andrea Yates? Yates, rather than save her children from drowning, actually drowned them herself, all five of them, in a bathtub. But the point is that the thing that makes someone like Yates so horrifying and terrifying is that she is a mother. Yet she had no maternal love within her. She had none of that feminine strength and courage and beauty and compassion and all of that. So she, like the shooter at the bar, was an empty shell of what she was supposed to be. And we all understand that. Nobody takes Andrea Yates and says, well, that proves that there's a problem with women, that there's a problem with toxic femininity, or there's a problem with mothers in America. Even though, you know, I mean, Andrea Yates is a story, horrible story from years ago, but you could unfortunately find cases, all the time of mothers killing their children. Yet nobody looks at that and says, well, there's a problem with women. We don't do that because we look at the positive, strong examples of women and we say, yes, these are women. Okay, this is what our daughters should be. And we need women who do this, right? Well, all I'm saying is that we could do the same thing for men for the sake of our sons. And it's okay to point out that there are positive and unique aspects and attributes of men. And the reason why we point those out is so that we can show those to our sons and to other young men in America and say, you know, this, be this, do this. You'll realize your full potential. And if you do that, you know, and if we put that kind of example forward to our sons, then maybe down the road we'll have more of the kind of men who are shielding bullets and fewer of the sort of men who are shooting them at innocent people. Speaking of masculinity or lack thereof, I want to tell you about this. A male to female transgender, that is a man who thinks he's a woman, is suing 16 women for refusing to wax his male genitalia. Okay. Let me read a little bit from the Daily Wire article on this. It says John Carpe, who's a lawyer for the president and the president of the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, is representing two of the women who are being targeted by the complainant. The complainant referred to only as JY. He's referred to only as JY. He's anonymous in accordance with an order from the BC Human Rights Tribunal. So he gets to be anonymous, but the women are named. Anyway, the lawyer says, in recent months, JY approached 16 Vancouver area female estheticians. We'll just call them waxologists, I guess, for simplicity. He approached 16 waxologists who only serve women, requesting a Brazilian bikini wax on his groin area. In spite of the fact that JY is able to obtain a manzillion in Vancouver as well, JY has filed 16 complaints against these women at the BC Human Rights Tribunal, claiming discrimination on the basis of gender identity. The female waxologists in question only serve women and do not offer so-called manzillions, which is the male equivalent to a Brazilian wax. Can I just pause here for a minute? Because I find this is annoying to me, where we put man in front of things to specify that it's something that a man is doing, when it doesn't make sense, because Brazilian, okay? Bra doesn't mean women. It's just, shouldn't it be man Brazilian? Why do we need it just man? You don't need to sub out bra for man, because it could apply to either men or women, couldn't it? Anyway, the procedure for providing a man with a manzillion is quite different, using a different kind of wax and a different technique, noted the lawyer. Sheila Poyer, one of the women Carpe is defending against JY pro bono, is a single mother who works out of her home. So we should give credit to this lawyer, by the way, is doing this pro bono for these women, or one of the women anyway. And the story goes on from there. Apparently the man dropped one of the complaints that he had made against one of the women when he saw that the woman was going to defend himself and had procured a lawyer. But he's also said that he will drop all of the complaints if he's given $2,500 from each of the women. He wants $2,500 a piece, and then he'll drop all the complaints. So just to be clear about this, okay? Let's be clear about what's happening here. This is a man demanding that women pay him for the right to not touch his genitals. I want to say that again, okay? I don't want to say it again, but I will. This is a man demanding that women pay him for the right to not touch his genitals. Side note, I'm in a hotel right now and the walls are very thin and I can hear somebody on the other side of those walls. So I don't know how much of this they're picking up, but they're probably very confused that there's someone in the other room shouting about genital waxes. He probably imagines that I'm on the phone because he only hears one side of the conversation. So he probably thinks I'm on the phone right now shouting to somebody about male genital waxes. So we'll let him, whoever that is, they can wonder about that mystery. Now, here's my question. It's the same question I always have with this stuff. Where are the feminists on this? Shouldn't every feminist be up in arms about something like this? Where you have men intruding we already have men intruding into female spaces, into locker rooms and bathrooms and everything. And now it's gotten to the point where you have a man demanding that a woman touch his intimate areas. What's the difference between this and what, like, Harvey Weinstein did? What's the difference between this guy, this quote transgender, and Harvey Weinstein? Harvey Weinstein used the power of his position, used his influence to compel women to engage in sexual activities with him. Whereas this man is using his status as a victim, he's using his protected status, and he's using the authority of the government and the courts to compel women to touch him intimately. What is the difference between those two things? I can't think of how we draw any distinction between them. So if the feminists are really going to fight the Me Too fight, and if they're going to be consistent about it, then they should be standing up and saying something about these kinds of things. This is why feminism is so useless these days. Because the fights that they should be fighting, where we actually need them, they say nothing because they're afraid. They've been cowed into silence by the LGBT lobby. What I'm saying to feminists is have some courage, stand up. Don't let the LGBT lobby boss you around, bully you. Don't forfeit everything that you pretend to want and pretend to fight for just because they're making demands. I mean, most of the legal fights and most of the fights for women's rights, those fights are in the past now. Those struggles are in the past. Most of that has been done. It's been won. Women have the right to vote. They have all the same. They have most of the same legal rights as men. But this is one particular area where women, I think, are being legally persecuted. This is the legal persecution of women. When men are able to use the power of the courts and the power of the government to compel women to do this or to tolerate men coming into their locker rooms. That is legal persecution of women. And that is where feminists should be standing up and saying something. Where are the feminists on that? They're off, you know, complaining about man spreading or something. They're complaining about men spreading their legs too much on the subway. Well, what about this? Why is it? By the way, why is it? Let's just ask ourselves, this guy, why must he insist that women be the one to perform this procedure on him? If he really feels, for some god-awful reason, if he feels the need to have that part of his body waxed, well, then fine, there's a place where he can go where men will do it. There's a place that specializes in doing that for men. And now, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty here. I don't know how a place that specializes in that, doing that for men, could possibly stay open. Are there that many? Well, anyway, look, the fact is that place exists. But no, this guy insists he wants women to do it. Why is that? I mean, we can only speculate. We're left only to speculate. Is this on his part some kind of like sexual thing where he gets some sort of sexual fulfillment from having women do? I don't know. As I said, we can only speculate. And when you're a man making these kinds of demands and being a bully like this, then you leave yourself open to speculation. And this is bullying. Okay. I know there are people who think, well, you know, yeah, this stuff is crazy, but obviously these people are mentally ill, so we should be compassionate. We should have sympathy, and I do have compassion and I do have sympathy. And this is mental illness, and this guy obviously is mentally ill. And for that aspect of the situation, for his psychological problems, I do have sympathy. But when you take this step to try to force women into touching you. Well, that's not mental illness. That's just you being a bully. That is just evil. That's you being a bad person. You're just a bad person. I don't care, transgender, whatever, it doesn't matter what your gender identity is. When you do that, you're just a bad, horrible, awful person, and you should be ashamed of yourself. I mean, what if this guy actually succeeded in coercing or extorting these women into performing this thing on him? Is that really what he wants? Does he want these humiliated, uncomfortable, embarrassed women to be forced to do that? Is that really what he wants? Yeah, well, it is apparently what he wants, because he's just a bad person. And he is exactly the sort of bully that feminists ought to be fighting against. Not only has he appropriated womanhood and made a mockery and a cartoon out of it, but now he is not having no respect at all for the autonomy of women and for their right to consent. We've made such a mockery of human rights. The whole idea of human rights, we've made such a mockery of it, which is really a shame, because our entire civilization is built on the foundation, on the basis of human rights and of the respect of human rights. But what are human rights? If now we're saying that you have the human right to have your genitals waxed by a woman, okay, if that's a human right, then I don't know what isn't a human right at that point. If that qualifies as a human right, then I don't know what couldn't qualify. We have taken the idea of rights and we have completely at this point conflated it with desire, where now the two ideas are basically interchangeable, where someone says, I have a right to this. It's the same thing as them saying, I want to do this. And there's no way for us to tell the difference anymore. So it's time to stand up against this bullying. Enough is enough at a certain point. All right, we'll leave it on that somewhat disturbing note, and have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you next week. Godspeed.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.